covered on these airways. So stay tuned for the best and leading edge progressive ideas and analysis. And remember to support independent media financially.
Coming up next is Ecologic at 6 a.m. right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
You want to taste freedom, peace in this life? I believe we can make it whole again. I believe we can make it whole. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? It'd be paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on prolonging the earth and telling where we're gonna plant our seeds, we could do. There's so much we could know if we listen to the earth.
Good morning. Glad you can join us for Ecologic at 6 a.m. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
I'm Donna Stein, and this is Ecologic at 6 a.m. for February 4th, 2023.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Today we'll be telling you about the Tongass Forest Victory, citizen input on a toxic waste dump, and two items on Indian Point, the Decommissioning Oversight Board meeting, and a recent health and safety decommissioning webinar. What you're hearing now is pre-recorded, but we'll go live at about 6:20, and we'll be taking your calls for our guests.
Here's some great news that's been a long time coming. Environment New Jersey announced victory for the Tongass. The Tongass Forest finally has legal protection from logging. The email states that they have been fighting for this protection since 2001, but I remember Protect the Tongass as one of my very first environmental fights back in the early 1970s. The Trump administration was the last to threaten this area, which is reportedly the largest intact temperate rainforest in the world, and now roadless areas in this wild, untouched place are safe from logging.
Another long-fought victory. The Environmental Protection Agency just announced that it will restrict the use of certain Bristol Bay headwaters for disposal of mining waste by the proposed Pebble Mine. We'll go into the welcome details next week.
NewJerseySpotlightNews.org reports that at a public hearing on Wednesday, January 25th, people criticized a new settlement proposal for the former Seba Geigy property in Toms River, now a Superfund site controlled by the BASF company. The infamous chemical plant polluted groundwater for decades, resulting in a $13 million settlement for families affected by cancer. The latest proposal calls for BASF to pay $100,000 to clean up toxic groundwater. Department of Environmental Protection Commissioner La Tourette said that the proposal is part of ensuring accountability. The first part took place years ago when the DEP took action to hold Siba Geigy accountable, paying well over $300 million over the course of many years to ensure the cleanup. Most of the Siba Geigy site would become an open space after cleanup.
Barry Bendar of Fork River, New Jersey asks, how do you account for all the people who've died as a result of the cancers that they contracted from what went on here? To even consider letting people come onto this property, it's absolutely insane.
Yeah, I worry that people will go onto that site when it's a park and not connect kids getting sick to a park.
A song like Give Me News I Can Use fits nearly every single show on WBAI. It's the fifth and final 30 seconds of our outro medley. Here's the whole song by Steppenwolf making fun of mainstream news. Was Give Me News I Can Use by Steppenwolf.
Indian Point, the nuclear power plant on the Hudson River, a little north of New York City, is shut down. And we can thank environmental activism for the fact that Indian Point never got the public bailout money that so many other nuclear reactors got, making closure an economic decision. but there is still nuclear waste on the site, and the plant still needs to be decommissioned. Indian Point was sold to a company called Holtec, which has a disastrous reputation when it comes to nuclear waste. Dr. Helen Caldicott called it evil and a carcinogenic company.
A series of expert forums on nuclear issues, co-sponsored by a number of local environmental groups, started on January 26th with a program on critical public health and safety impacts of decommissioning Indian Point. Speakers were Dr. Helen Caldicott of Physicians for Social Responsibility, PSR, zooming in from Australia, and Eric Epstein from Three Mile Island Alert, and Diane Turco from Cape Cod Downwinders. Dr. Alfred Meyer from PSR New York moderated. We thank our colleagues at Green Street News, heard Fridays at 2 p.m. on WBAI, for the recording of the valuable forum.
Coming up next is most of Helen Caldicott's portion of the health and safety webinar about Holtec and the Indian Point Power Plant's nuclear waste. She opened with a chart showing 211 radioactive waste products that come out of a nuclear plant.
This is a list of all the radioactive elements made in a nuclear reactor. Unbelievable. I'm not going to say how long each isotope lasts, but some last seconds, some last hundreds of years, and some last thousands of years. So we're just going to have a look at all of them. It's pretty unbelievable. I don't think people have any idea of what is made in a nuclear power plant. This happens when uranium atoms split and make all these elements. And then I'm going to talk about their biological properties and what will happen if 100,000 gallons of radioactive water is tipped into the Hudson River from a biological and medical perspective. It's very important that you understand this and what nuclear reactors actually produce. Now, the cooling pool cools spent nuclear fuel rods. That means they're extremely radioactive and they have to be cooled for a long time because they're very hot and they could melt and release radioactive elements into the air, which is what happened at the Fukushima accident and disaster. Holtec, I don't trust. It's got a poor record. I think they're in it for money. They make shortcuts and the like. So I'll just describe some of the elements that will be released into the Hudson River, which is a tidal river from which many, many people receive their drinking water. People fish in the Hudson. Children swim in the Hudson. It's important for you to know that children are 10 to 20 times more sensitive to the effects of radiation than adults. Fetuses, thousands of times more so. So as a doctor and a pediatrician, I'm talking about health effects, and that's the thing that really, really concerns me. So what could be released? Well, first there's cesium-137, which has a half-life of 30 years. Now, a half-life means that in 30 years, half of the cesium has decayed away, but you multiply a half-life by 10 or 20 to get its total radiological life. So 10, 300 years, 20, 600 years. Now, cesium is a potassium analog, and our muscles are full of potassium, and potassium is a very important element in our body. And what happens if this water is emptied into the Hudson, there's a biological food chain. So the algae suck up these elements hundreds or thousands of times and bioconcentrate them. Then the crustaceans eat the algae, and this is the food chain which goes up bioconcentrating at each level. So algae, crustaceans, little fish, big fish, us. When you eat a fish containing, say, cesium-137, you can't taste it, you can't smell it, and you can't see it. It's invisible to the senses. And so you eat the fish, the cesium goes into your gut. It gets absorbed because the body thinks it's potassium. It's laid down in muscles and various other cells. Cesium can cause a deadly muscle cancer called sarcomas. in Brookhaven National Labs on Long Island, there was an epidemic of sarcomas amongst young children because of the release of cesium years ago. And cesium will hang around in the environment for 600 years. So that's number one. Number two is strontium-90. I'm only choosing a few elements to give you an idea. Strontium-90 is a calcium analog. Why do we use calcium in the body? For our bones. Strontium-90 is a beta emitter. So is cesium. Beta emitters emit an electron. So if you have strontium-90, a small amount of it in your bone, it's constantly shooting out little electrons. And the cells next to the strontium-90 in the bone, every cell has a gene that controls the rate of cell division called the regulatory gene. And if that regulatory gene is mutated or altered by the electron that's shot out by the strontium-90, the cell will sit dormant for any time from 5 to 50 years. And one day it starts dividing in an unregulated fashion, producing millions of cells, and that's a cancer. And as the cancer grows, the cells are very, they migrate and they break through into lymph vessels and into blood vessels, and they spread throughout the body into the brain and the lung and the like, producing secondary cancers. A cancer is a parasite. And you know from seeing people who have cancer, the body just disintegrates. And the cancer grows and grows, and eventually the person dies. So strontium-90 causes bone cancer, or osteogenic sarcomas, we call them. Nasty, nasty things. Children, don't forget, are so sensitive to these isotopes and radiation. And then there's plutonium, which is a deadly thing. Atoms were first split, uranium atoms, to make plutonium, because plutonium is a fuel for nuclear weapons. You need 5 kilos to make yourself an atomic bomb. Plutonium has a half-life of 24,400 years. It's an alpha emitter, so it emits 2 protons and 2 neutrons, and it's a big particle that it emits, and it's highly carcinogenic and mutagenic. If you inhale 1 millionth of a gram of plutonium into your lung, you'll get lung cancer. So it's a deadly substance, and it's treated by the body like iron. It combines with the transferrin protein, which is a transporting protein which transports iron all over the body. Therefore, it deposits in the liver, where it can cause liver cancer, in the bone, where the red blood cells are made, causing osteogenic sarcoma, multiple myeloma, leukemia. It also, unlike many other elements, crosses the placenta, because the placenta thinks it's iron. Placenta doesn't let anything through, not viruses, anything, to protect the fetus. The fetus is incredibly sensitive to radiation. And around Chernobyl, there are homes full of grossly deformed children, like the babies who were deformed by thalidomide, you know, without hands or anencephaly babies with no brains, but they don't live. I've delivered such a baby. So plutonium causes severe fetal abnormalities, but it's highly carcinogenic, and it lasts for 500,000 years. Half-life is 24,400 years. I've just mentioned 3-4 elements in this cooling water, but there are many more. And from that chart, some elements last seconds and some last millions of years and some last thousands of years. We don't know what is in that water. Oh, and the last one to talk about is tritium. Tritium is H3. The nuclear industry is very concerned about tritium, and in fact, in the Journal of Health Physics, there are numerous articles about tritium. You can't remove tritium from water because tritium becomes part of the water, H3O instead of H2O. Tritium gets out into the atmosphere from nuclear power plants, and if you're immersed in a cloud of fog near a nuclear power plant, the tritium in the fog can actually enter the skin Nothing else gets through the skin, but tritium can. Tritium is a beta emitter, emits an electron. It's highly carcinogenic. Of course, it enters the fetus. There's no way to remove tritium from the water. So, and then what happened? And of course, we're talking about fish and people eating the fish and the like, people drinking the water. No one can taste, smell, or see the radioactive elements. They're highly medically dangerous. And no way, no way should this water from the cooling ponds, which will be very contaminated or concentrated with radioactive elements, should it be put into the Hudson River. What to do with it? I don't know. You can't evaporate it because it goes into the air and contaminates everything. I think it should be put in huge tanks and taken out, I don't know, to the desert and a huge hole dug and the water put in there. It's a disaster, an absolute disaster waiting to happen. So do not let them put that water into the Hudson River. How do we handle the tritium that's in the spent fuel? Well, if it's in the spent fuel, it stays in the spent fuel. No, it leaks out, of course, into the cooling water. You can't handle it. I mean, once it's made, and it's a deadly carcinogen. That's nuclear power. I mean, that's why doctors totally oppose. I mean, think how hard we work to try and save a patient with cancer. Usually we don't. So nuclear power plants are carcinogenic factories. That's what they are. They're carcinogenic factories, period.
That was Helen Caldicott speaking at last week's forum, Critical Public Health and Safety Impacts of Decommissioning Indian Point. We'll have more on that from our guest, Manager Green, Hudson River Sloop Clearwater's environmental director and one of the organizers of the forum. She'll be taking your calls.
You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Before we get to our guest and take your phone calls, a very important thing we and all producers need to do on each show is appeal to you to help keep this radio station on the air. For 63 years last month, WBAI was part of the first listener-supported network. This radio station has existed and continues only because of listeners like you. You know, Ecologic takes pride in empowering you, our listeners, to participate in helping with actions you can do on the important issues that we expose and present. Ecologic brings you actions you can take, letters, emails, petitions, rallies, marches, direct actions. It's all important. And the nitty-gritty of raising funds is also part of this equation.
No.
Participation also includes funding our time with you. Please donate to WBAI and say that you are donating in the name of Ecologic. Even better, become an Ecologic BAI buddy.
Today's discussion of Indian Point, Holtec, and the Decommissioning Oversight Board shows the importance of investigative reporters, independent scientific experts, and citizen journalists. Too many mainstream media outlets simply pick up corporate press releases. We ask the hard questions and kick the tires. We've given you information on how to be heard at public hearings, and we can continue to do that if you do your part by contributing to WBAI. Ecologic serves you and the community with these and many environmental stories about issues that affect our health and well-being. We can't do it without you. We're about exposing the bad guys and celebrating the good ones. Support us. Call 212-209-2950.
I know we talk a lot about fundraising. We need to. We need you to keep us going. This is listener-supported radio, and guess what? You're listening. Please show us you care about our show and about WBAI by giving a donation, getting one of our premiums, or even better, becoming a monthly supporter as a BAI buddy in the name of Ecologic. We appreciate you. Please help keep us, help us to keep WBAI on the air. Call and contribute now. The donation number is 212-209-2950.
We know you are interested in the welfare of the planet and its people, animals, and plants. You need Ecologic to bring you up-to-date information. Please make it possible for us to do that by supporting WBAI. Please consider taking the next few moments to pick up the phone and make that call, or go online and make that donation. Contributing now shows that Ecologic is important to you, that you care about protecting our air and water. It's a win-win for you and Ecologic. The number to call is 212-209-2950.
What we call the environment is not some abstract thing. It's the air we breathe, the water we drink. Our world is so interconnected. What happens in one continent affects another. Sand in the Sahara affects hurricanes in the Atlantic Ocean. More rain in the desert means less sand in the air and fewer hurricane clouds over the ocean. Regular listeners may have heard meteorologist Tom Weissmuller talking about that on last year's June 24th episode of Ecologic. Check it out on the archives.
WBAI has been involved in every political and social struggle, including the climate crisis. I recently met someone who has been listening to WBAI from the beginning, 1960. Mm. And of course, I met that person at a memorial for a stellar WBAI listener, activist, supporter, and wonderful person, Pat Logan. We dedicate this show to Pat. Please support us even a bit as she did, and then we would be doing well. We really hope that you will step up to help WBAI and the Pacifica Network Broadcasting. Call 212-209-2950.
You're hearing us now because listeners like you pitched in to help. You listen to Ecologic, so be a part of it. Join us as a member for $25, as a BAI buddy for $10 or more a month, or just make a donation today to let us know that you are listening, that you care about Ecologic and WBAI. Support your show.
We thank you for everything you have done for WBAI in the past and look for your continued support so we can keep thanking you.
Our transmitter is at 4 Times Square, which is partially solar powered, and the solar panels were installed by someone who is a friend and past guest of Ecologic. That guest, Anthony Pereira, was part of the panel on our premium Solar in the City, which is part of a 3-DVD set available for a $90 donation.
Let's all be part of the solution. Please support WBAI's free speech community radio by becoming an Ecologic BAI buddy, or by pledging for premiums, or making a single donation today with $25 or more. You become a voting member at WBAI.
We expose greenwashing wherever we can. There's so much that we cover that is unknown to the public, or so controversial that commercial radio won't touch it. Where else do you hear about just how evil Holtec is? You hear about that right here on Ecologic and other WBAI shows. Nowhere else. And that is why we need your support. That is why you need to support Ecologic. And that's why we all need to support WBAI. Please go to ecologic.wbai.org now.
Ecologic has been on BAI for more than 20 years. So we've covered lots of environmental topics, and some of our most popular past shows have been made into DVDs and CDs that we offer as thank you gifts for our donors. For instance, Women and the Environment includes Rachel Carson and Helen Caldicott, whom we heard earlier in a recording from last week's program on public health and decommissioning. We have a selection of more than 25 items from which you can choose from on the website, ecologic.wbai.org.
To support Ecologic and have it be a win-win, you can choose for yourself from our premiums on ecologic.wbai.org. Figure your budget, your interest, and how you appreciate WBAI and Ecologic. Can you find just $10 a month to be a sustaining WBAI buddy? That helps the station budget its expenses, but any donation to WBAI in the name of Ecologic is truly a win-win.
If you prefer not to donate online or through the call center, you can send a check or money order for your membership and or premiums. The mailing address is WBAI Radio, attention membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
Joining us today is Hudson River Sloop Clearwater Environmental Director, Mana Jo Green. Welcome, Mana Jo.
Hey, Mana Jo, tell us about yourself and how you felt about the forum you helped organize.
Well, let's see. About myself, I, in addition to being the environmental director for Clearwater for 22 years, I serve on the Ulster County Legislature, where I chair Energy, Environment, and Sustainability and the Climate Smart Committee. And as Clearwater's environmental director, we've seen many victories over the years, but they are hard won and take a long time. Getting the PCBs cleaned up in the upper Hudson, and getting Indian Point, that had a terrible health and safety record. And that's not to criticize the workers. I think they did the best they could, but there were transformer fires or explosions. The sirens failed. There were baffle bolts that got loose and were floating around in the bottom of the reactor. O-ring failures and many reasons to close Indian Point, which is, you know, within 30 miles of New York City and such a major metropolitan area. But now we have the challenge of having to ensure that the decommissioning of Indian Point is as safe as possible. And Dr. Helen Caldicott really contributed to that with the comments that you just shared.
And so what are the goals that you're looking to achieve with the
The forum is a series of three forums. The first really focused on health, but also on monitoring and community impacts with Eric Epstein and Diane Turco. But I think that Dr. Caldicott made a very important point that this is a health issue. The second of the series will focus on safety and emergency planning, but we'll continue that theme of health and the fact that, you know, from my perspective, if radioactivity is contained, we shouldn't be releasing it into the Hudson River, or another treatment is to evaporate it, which would release it into the air. If it's contained, keep it contained. Dilution is not the solution to pollution.
We always say that.
But the second will focus on the safety issues, and then we expect to have another one on the environmental justice concerns about transporting waste to Texas or New Mexico, to communities that have already been overburdened since the Trinity atomic testing, I think it was 1950.
45.
45, yes. The mining of uranium, milling, processing, and already storage. But we don't want to overburden these communities with nuclear waste from more than 90 facilities around the country.
Right, and to get it from here to there is a big project
and not safe.
How can people attend those webinars?
Well, the information will be posted on the site, the Clearwater website and other websites. And also we have a full video of the first presentation. But the easiest thing is for people to send a note to me, manajo@clearwater.org, and I will immediately turn it around with the registration link for February 16th and also send a copy of a link to the website, which not only has the video, it has biography, background information, a decommissioning glossary, and other valuable information. And that's on the grassroots environmental education website. So they can go directly there as well, or send me a note at manajo@clearwater.org.
Eric Epstein is from the Three Mile Island area, and he said they've been fighting this for 43 years. And this stuff is still, you know, there and will continue to be there for hundreds, thousands of years without decay, right?
Yeah, I had a coworker who bought property near Three Mile Island because the property values went down so much because people moved away. I mean, it's an economic issue in a lot of different ways. And he was a coworker I didn't particularly appreciate, so I wasn't that compassionate about where he moved, but it was very strange. I told him about it, what was going on, and he did not want to hear it. He had a house there, and he didn't want to hear anything bad. And I think that's a typical reaction to the disaster of nuclear power, is that people, it's too big, and people don't want to deal with it. They don't want to think about it. They don't want to know about it. And I'm so glad that Indian Point did not get the government bailouts that so many other nuclear plants in this country got. And that's completely due to citizen activism, people like Manajo and Sally. So thank you.
Okay, now we want to hear from listeners. Please call in with your questions or your comments at 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877.
Hey, Mena, we'd also like to go into what you thought about the decommissioning oversight meeting that happened last night or the other night and the laws regarding radioactive dumping, New York versus Massachusetts. Massachusetts has such safer laws.
Yeah, I actually spoke with Arnie Gunderson since the we call it DOB meeting the other night, and they are missing a lot of information, and they're also being very dismissive about the idea of treating the radioactive water, but that does not remove tritium, and it only removes some of the heavier isotopes like strontium-90, et cetera. that putting it into the river washes it away, and they've already been doing that. They did that with the water from Fuel Pool 1 when that was emptied, because it was leaking into the groundwater, and there still is radioactivity in the soil and the groundwater under Indian Point. But I think that, we do have evidence, and we're going to bring that evidence forward, that tritium is much more of a problem. I think part of the issue is that some of the people that spoke in a way that would promote or allow for discharging radioactive water from which seven communities take their drinking water is that when they were actually people who worked in the industry early on, and they were trained that tritium is not a problem, but there is so much evidence Dr. Ian Farley, and many other people. So we will be bringing that evidence forward because Clearwater's mission is to protect the ecology of the Hudson River and the well-being of everyone living in its watershed and beyond. So, you know, the United for Clean Energy is bringing forward this information. And this is a critical time because they Holtec announced that they would be treating and discharging the water into the Hudson River as soon as August of this year. August or September is when it's scheduled, and it could even happen sooner. And my concern is that they're going to rush things so that they can get it into the river before we can find a way to stop it. And I just want to make a point that typically you would expect the New York State DEC, Department of Environmental Conservation, and the Health Department to have laws that would protect New Yorkers. But when it has to do with radiation, it always is NRC, Nuclear Regulatory Commission, and Department of Energy, and to a lesser extent, EPA. So the Speedies permit, which is the state pollution discharge elimination system, that should kick in, but it will only kick in for other chemicals. Oh. So, for example, if someone were to try to discharge PCBs or PFAS, the firefighting foam that is so toxic, those would be regulated by New York State. Unfortunately, the radioactivity is under the jurisdiction of basically the NRC.
Wow.
Which is basically a rubber stamp for industry.
Let me just say that the NRC is an industry-captured agency, and right. I know that you've brought that forward. So,
we have a caller on the line. The number to call is 212-209-2877, and you are on the air.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello. Hi. I'm a lifetime New York City resident, and also I just found out that I have rectal cancer, and everyone is pushing me to go to the best place, Memorial Sloan Kettering, and take radiation. And I'm scared to death of this. It seems so terrible to me. And also, any alternative programs are very time, it would take a long time to counteract what I've already somehow developed over a lifetime. And none of that is covered by health insurance, and nobody believes you when you talk about that. And I feel like I'm being railroaded into Memorial Sloan Kettering and Montefiore because the symptoms of this are horrible. So you can't just avoid it. And, I don't want to go into the gory symptoms of it, but it's really damaging to your lifestyle. You can't travel and you can't do lots of things that I used to do. And I'm wondering, how is it that the cancer industry is such a gigantic industry and it's so predominant in the medical field and no one wants to listen to or think about what to do about this? Well, how to cure yourself without further contamination?
Wow. Well, follow the money, of course. That's the answer to so many questions nowadays. Follow the money.
Dr. Helen Caldicott, the excerpt that we played, is a medical doctor, and she is warning about just that. I mean, we can only talk to the need to stop this whole thing. She was saying that we need to close the school, that's near Indian Point. Crazy that that children are allowed to play in that playground. The exposure to radiation is no joke, and I'm sorry that you're going through all that.
Yeah. Oh, it's Dr. John Goffman, who was a nuclear physicist and a medical doctor, and he worked on the Manhattan Project and realized what radiation was doing, which is why he studied medicine as well. And he said that a lot of these radiation detection procedures cause more cancer than they help. But I also remember having a guest on, and we talked about Dr. Goffman, and she was a breast cancer survivor, and it was radiation that detected her breast cancer. So she understood the medical problems with radiation, but she couldn't personally come out against it on the air. It was a kind of a tragic conversation. And I guess everybody has to make up their own minds on about what to do.
Well, that's the thing. I'm wondering, and they're saying I'm going to die and I'm going to metastasize if I don't, you know, go through this many weeks of radiation, 5 days a week for a long time, and lose your hair, possibly get hand and foot disease and some other damage your sphincters on your rectum and anywhere else. And I feel like I don't know how to stand up to it. I don't know. What do I do? Choose to take my chances and die? Or, like, I don't know where to go. I am a Gary Null listener and stuff, but, you know, his film is from 2009, and it wasn't very hopeful.
I wish Helen Caldicott was here live, because she could answer that question better than we could.
Okay.
You know, this takes a Helen Caldicott to really get into the details. So many of the other people who studied both medicine and nuclear physics have left us, Ernest Sternglass and Dr. Goffman. We still have Dr. Caldicott. But I would say look up John Goffman, G-O-F-M-A-N, on the internet. And see if you can find anything from him. But thanks for your caller, and
best of luck.
Best of luck.
Yes.
Thank you.
We're with you. So Manna, what are your thoughts on the next steps that can be taken?
Next step?
We're
now talking about Indian Point, not
yes.
I want to be clear, because we're changing the subject back to Indian Point decommissioning.
Yes.
And I think the next steps are reaching out to Congress, to Senators Schumer and Gillibrand and whoever your representative is, because we have to deal with the divide that I just mentioned between chemical pollution and radioactive pollutants, and have the states have authority. We are also going to, because that's a legal jurisdiction issue, we're going to be reaching out to the New York State Attorney General's office, because we need a powerful attorney to prevent the release of radioactive water into the Hudson, which is an estuary. So as much as you want to send it out to the ocean, which I don't think we should be doing any of that, but if it is discharged, it's not going to just flow south past New York City and out into the ocean. In an estuary that flows north and south in cycles twice a day from the pull of the moon, those isotopes will flosh around and move north to where those communities do take their drinking water. But there's also, as Dr. Caldicott pointed out, the radioactivity bioaccumulates up the food chain. And then people who are ignoring the health advisories that already exist not only get PCBs, but they also potentially get tritium and other isotopes. So
We have 30 seconds. We have one caller standing by. So 212-209-2877 is our number, but we won't be able to take your call. Just this one. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Quickly, you just had a cancer caller calling in New York City, right? There's
yes.
a specialty yeah. doctor who does radiotactic surgery. His name is Gil Lederman, and he's at 1384 Broadway. He hits the cancer on the spot. Don't go to Sloan Kettering. Please call 212-CHOICES. I know it sounds like an ad, but he's a professional. I know him personally. This is Steve from Malibu. He's so good, he has offices in Monaco. He's been on 60 Minutes. Gil Lederman, L-E-D-E-R-M-A-N. He's a complete professional. His success rate is
90%. Okay, wait.
Thank you very much for that resource.
And Amanda Jo, any last comments in the next 20 seconds?
Back to Indian Point.
Just that we need everyone's help in preventing this problem. And when we all get together and we have fact-based evidence, science-based evidence, we win. And we have a history of winning, and we want to win this one as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's time to wrap up. So thanks for joining us this morning. Thank you, Manna. We are glad to have you with us for Ecologic at 6 a.m. live or on the archives, folks. For more information, go to our website, ecoradio.org. That's www.ecoradio.org. And you can find Manna and Manna's information at clearwater.org. Last week, we talked about the murder by police of environmental activist Tochiyita. The great folks at Out FM will be talking about him this Tuesday at 8 p.m. FM, Tuesday at 8 p.m.
Right here in WBAI New York. We'd love to stay in touch with you, so those of you online, please go to www.ecoradio.org. and sign up for our email list. Those of you on Facebook, please like our page. Enter eco-logic.
Our website has information on a variety of environmental topics, so go to www.ecoradio.org. Today, Rosa Parks' birthday is Transit Equity Day. Taking public transit is one of the most ecological things you can do. We all deserve access to high-quality transit. Check out the live stream at noon today. And search Transit Equity Day. Also, we've been invited to attend the LSB Outreach and Fundraising Meeting on Monday, February 13th at 7 p.m. So if you have feedback for us, mark your calendars to join us on Zoom. We'll have details next week. Ecologic and WBAI continue to offer you environmental news, information, and entertainment. Ecologic at 6 a.m. includes more music and listener calls. Our listener-supported radio station needs you.
To support Ecologic and have it be a win-win, you can choose from our many premiums. Most can be found both on ecologic.wbai.org and on give2wbai.org. To become a member or contribute monthly as an Ecologic BAI buddy, call 212-209-2950. We love to see those BAI Ecologic buddy pledges. Most of the BAI staff, including us, are volunteers. Funding is still needed for everything else that makes a broadcast happen. The engineers, electricity, equipment, upkeep. Pledging now during the show really helps Ecologic especially.
And our thanks to our engineer today, Sean Rhodes. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gillard.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us again next week for Ecologic at 6 a.m. on Saturday, February 11th, when we talk about solar power in Puerto Rico.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
So
station dedicated to and sponsored by its listeners. From 1960 to present day, WBAI has been promoting an innovative perspective of news, public affairs, music, arts, health, and science. In order to provide a truly unique voice to New York City, WBAI receives its financial assistance from listeners like you. To help WBAI continue this tradition, you can become a BAI buddy by giving a generous monthly donation of as little as $10. It's a safe, secure, and simple way to support your local station. To become a BAI buddy, go to give2wbai.org. That's give2wbai.org.
This is Mike Sargent with This Day in Racial Injustice. On this day, February 4th, back in 1864, the Alabama State Legislature leased their state-run prison to a private businessman, J.G. Graham. He appointed himself warden and he took control of the entire prison and the people incarcerated there. He claimed all profits made from their labor and eliminated every other employment position except physician and inspector. At the time, 99% of those incarcerated were white. Free black people were not legally permitted to live in Alabama, and enslaved black people were instead subject to unregulated plantation justice at the hands of enslavers and overseers. This leasing of the prison and the people incarcerated there marked the beginning of the convict leasing system in Alabama, and that system was soon renewed. In 1866, after the end of the Civil War, the government again authorized incarcerated people to be leased to work outside of the prison, and 374 people were leased to the firm Smith and McMillan to work rebuilding the Alabama and Chattanooga Railroad. In this post-emancipation society, black people were no longer enslaved, and the convict population that was formerly almost all white was now 90% black. The system of convict leasing, which continued until World War II, became one that forced primarily black people who were incarcerated, some convicted of minor and trumped-up charges, to work in hard, dangerous conditions for no pay. This has been This Day, February 4th, in Racial Injustice from the Equal Justice Initiative. And this is Listener Sponsored Radio, WBAI, New York.
This is David Amram. You're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 on your FM dial, and keep on listening.